All right, welcome everyone to the Rink Rat Report podcast. Recording this one Sunday, May 5th. Happy Cinco de Mayo to all those that celebrate. Jason, how was your run?
Good. My legs are, you can't see, but they're elevated right now. Got to get them up because, they're sore. But it was good. Finished 208 with a 208, so it's good number, good time. Happy with it. Tough. 208? Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Thank you. It was honestly hard this morning. I'm not going to lie. I had to wake up at 6:30 after a loss, and then it was also pissing rain. It was just like, this is the worst combination ever. And, like, I don't know how many people here are Leafs fans, but I was hurting. It is what it is. It was good. It was a good time.
Yeah. So, 2-1, overtime, 2-1. Pasternak.
Yep. The guy who you didn't want to say it all series, who was not playing
well
up to his team standards, and then hey, there you go. What it's crazy exactly. How one play can change everything.
Exactly. So we're gonna get into that game. We're gonna get into the series. Sorry, that was the two things that I needed to remember and I could not. But first, SVP Sports, they're giving away a jersey, a hat, and a t-shirt, a Leafs t-shirt, to one lucky person that commented on the YouTube. So the rules were, it was at the end of the series, they give out a prize each game that the Leafs additionally win or make it to. They give out an extra prize, so that was the additional, the hat and the shirt. And it was an entry as a comment on one, so like one comment per YouTube video. We came up with three total. So you had the chance to enter three separate times. I saw a few people that did. Good on you. We're going to do the draw right now. Jason, are you ready? Add my screen share to the screen. Are we good to go?
Well, you're good to go.
Okay, so these are actually all the names. They're YouTube usernames. These aren't emails, so it's fine that we're showing this. And 3, 2, 1. Congratulations to Laker Taker 9604. I believe that's a comment on the first video. Congratulations. We're going to get in touch with this person and get them their jersey, their shirt, and their hat. Thank you, everyone, for commenting. Thank you, everyone, for entering. Thank you, everyone, that entered three times. So.
Interesting. So, Laker Taker said, Domi, his comment was, Domi has been all in for everyone for best in the series. And then that was up until game five. Interesting.
Yeah.
I got a lot of comments on the game five one. Thought he was good. So, yeah.
Max Domi is an interesting player.
Yep.
To me, played well overall in the series. He leaves a lot to be desired, in my opinion. I think with his physical abilities, if he figures out his decision-making, his play away from the puck, he could be a fantastic player instead of a guy that's on his like sixth team in 7 years, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's just my opinion. I think he could be a very solid second-line center, very solid offensive second-line center. If he puts in, like, if he figures out just like between the years and watches more, like watch, I'm not saying he doesn't watch film, but man, his physical abilities were compared to his actual output, I feel like don't match. I feel like he's a good player though. He's a great player. He was a great value add for the Leafs this year, in my opinion. Right.
I agree. And I hope we keep him on.
We'll get into that next week. Right?
So, and in future weeks, so.
Yeah, we have a long off season. We didn't make it past the first round this year. But, so that sucked. What are your thoughts on last night? Fucking horseshit.
It sucked. It was terrible. The whole spectacle around it was terrible.
Listening to that god-awful goal horn, that god-awful goal song in that overtime. Just being left after a series finale game, you get eliminated in overtime, is just the most depressing thing ever. You are sitting there late at night, staring at the TV, hoping something somehow changes, grasping at any little, how is this, like, it just, you like the slow wash over after an overtime goal where your team gets eliminated, the slow wash over of like, it's now over, is so disappointing. And just to be, if you're with other people and to watch it on their faces too, it's so painful. And I hate going through it every single flipping year, which it seems to happen.
Yeah. That was the toughest part of just the, but it all started for me though, with like the spectacle to start, like the, is Matthews playing? Is he not playing? Oh, he's playing. Awesome. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, oh, right as Matthews is announced, Joseph Wall is likely not to play. Where the fuck did that come from? Like, what the hell happened? And I was trying to stay positive. I was trying to be like, he's going to play. He's going to play. We need him to play. But the second he was ruled out, I just had that pit in my stomach that I always get before those game sevens. Like, that's just the way it was.
The roller coaster. Exactly. It's funny because the roller coaster, like the emotion started hours before pregame with that.
Yeah.
Like Matthews, they're like, it looks like Matthews could be in tonight.
And I was like, oh. Even if you want to date back to like game five, there was an article written that saying he's probably not going to be ready for game seven. So it's like, we went through like game five. He might play. Oh, actually, no, he's not going to play this game. Probably not. Definitely not going to play the next game. Might not play game seven as well. Where the hell did that come from? And then morning of game seven, bang, he's playing. Awesome. Just highs and lows. It's crazy. It was crazy. But anyways.
Yep. And then the Joseph Wall news was just,
that was just brutal.
Just gut punching. And then to find out why, like where people are speculating, like why he isn't playing, was even worse.
Yeah.
Oh man. So apparently according to Elliot Friedman, according to whoever, it's suspected that Joseph Wall injured himself on the one Boston goal that occurred with 0.1 seconds left in game six, because everyone stopped playing and he dove for a puck, which, don't blame him. I don't want anyone to score.
Of course.
Happens. And he tweaked something and there was tightness before game seven. And he just couldn't get himself proper and he was ruled out. So just to have the drama start there, you didn't start very well in that game.
Yeah.
But you righted the ship, in my opinion. You didn't give up crazy chances. Like Samsonov played solid, but you righted the ship. You went up one goal and, oh God, that, like, just that game was excruciating. This entire series has been excruciating.
Yeah. But it's important to keep things in, like, I don't know, in kind of perspective. Obviously it's frustrating and obviously it's annoying. The biggest thing that I'm looking forward to, there's not much to look forward to. We just lost game seven, but I don't know. You just like, listen, what are you going to do? You have two choices. You can either stop being a fan of the team or you can still be a fan of the team. And if you want to be a fan of the team, what I'm looking forward to, I don't know. I'm just curious to see what all these injuries were, because I don't know about you. It felt like Matthews didn't look like 100% by far. I heard people saying they thought Riley was hurt. That might just be copium because he like did not look good all series. Maybe it was from a shot block. Maybe, I don't know.
Whether he's hurt or not, he just looked terrible.
He looked bad. Yeah.
Or not. He looked hunched over and with no energy.
Don't you remember, was it last year when Jake McCabe came out that he had like some random injury, like, for, am I misremembering that? But so someone,
I don't know about that. I think he said he was surprised how big the moment was. That's what was said this year. Mm-hmm, last year. But he was good this year. He was very good this year.
I'm just curious to see all those injuries, because
I don't know. What if they don't even
Wall.
Tell us what the injuries
are? I mean,
they said that Nylander was a migraine. He couldn't see out of his eye. He specifically said, I couldn't see out of my eyes.
You probably need those to play, so it makes sense why
those
he didn't
play.
Those
are kind of important per Danner Dreger. But
yeah.
Yeah. Just this was a roller coaster of a series. 5-1 first game. Win the second game. Matthews plays awesome. Game three, still no Nylander. Up and down game. No, was that the up and down game? Yeah, game three was up and down.
Mm-hmm. Game four was
up, and then it was just a massive drop down. Game four was deflating. Game five, they came back and played well, won in overtime. Game six, they came back and played pretty well and won the game, grinded out 2-0, 2-1, whatever you want to count it. Like game seven, this was just the most complete effort game seven that I've seen since 2004, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's something you got to hang your hat on. Like 18 was terrible. 19 was terrible. 2021 was terrible. 2020, if you want to consider that a game, it was a game five. It was winner moves on. That was terrible.
It was
funny. The Lightning, it was okay, but I thought this one was better.
I just want to jump in. When you said 18, 19, I'm so Leafs pilled right now. I'm just like, wait, you think Gregor and Yarncrook didn't play well? You're talking about the game, but then I'm like, oh, you're listening off the game sevens. I think effort wise, this is the best one. Like, what are we going to say? Like, I don't know. People might troll us for that, but I mean, we got to be honest. We got to talk about the game. My biggest issue, and I think it's been, and I brought it up to you today. My biggest issue has been with the way that we've handled late, either leads or tie games in elimination games. Cause it really bothers me. Cause it feels like we don't commit to a 1-3-1 for a lot of the game with about 10 minutes left in the third period when it's tied or we're ahead. Sheldon Keefe likes to implement a 1-3-1 and he's done it before. People might say, hey, Guy Boucher, he was like invented it, blah, blah, no, whatever. He probably didn't, but anyways, he like made it popular. But it was before Guy Boucher was even on the roster. I remember him doing it in Tampa. I remember him doing it twice in Tampa. I remember him doing it with Montreal. I remember them doing it quite often. And I always found that it's funny because what made me think of this is the quote that Sheldon Keefe said post game, and we'll probably talk a little bit about that later, where it says teams play to the Leafs lose themselves. I'm like, dude, you're the coach. You put them in this position. That style of play is exactly that, because this team is you made a great point, and I'm going to say it here. With that 1-3-1, you need more defensive forwards. It doesn't work as well. You need more forwards to buy in. Whereas I think our forwards are much better built and look better. And we played better in this series, as like majority of the times we score goal is off of forechecking and putting pressure on the Boston Bruins defense. And when they had time and space, they scored. And that's exactly what happened with the last goal. That's how they scored. You give them time and space and they score in the neutral zone. You gave them all the time in the world in the neutral zone. And that's my problem with the 1-3-1, is because if it's like you only attack once they hit the red line, right? Like, it's not enough pressure until they hit the red line. Then you start to swarm a bit, but there's ways around it, like a dump in. A dump in is a great way to neutralize that. So I just wish we were a little bit more aggressive in the neutral zone on the forecheck instead of playing a 1-3-1, because I'd rather, again, the defense be the guy to make the step either at the red line or the blue line and have the forward tracking back to like protect, to cover for him if he squeaks by. That's exactly what I wanted to do. So
the most egregious put forth, I would suppose you could say, of the 1-3-1 that the Leafs have done, in my opinion, was, do you remember game six, Tampa Bay 21-22? They went up in the third period. They did the 1-3-1. It was a very passive forecheck too. They looked horrific, and as a result they took the penalty that led to the other penalty that led to the power play goal against, and then the rest is history, I suppose you could say. The rest is history, but yeah, the 1-3-1, it was terrible. But I will break down the second goal in a bit, because there's something in there that you said that I think we should add some context to,
for sure.
Before we move any further though, hey there, beach babes. Are you ready to soak up those summer vibes and unveil your beach bod? Well, you're in luck, because our friends at Manscaped have you covered from head to toe with the Performance Package 5.0 Ultra. This ultimate all-in-one grooming kit is set to have you looking and feeling your best in the summer sun. Trust Manscaped and unlock the confidence you need to turn heads this season. Join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped for 20% off and free shipping with the code RINKRAT. That is RINKRAT. At manscaped.com. Let's make this summer your smoothest one yet. Manscaped.com, promo code RINKRAT. Hosts to talk about their thoughts on the Manscaped product. Oh, they're amazing.
They're awesome.
Sometimes the hosts do not read. I like to read it, and it sometimes it's really odd. But this one, the Manscaped products are terrific. I use the razors very frequently. The deodorant I use every single day. Manscaped.com, promo code RINKRAT. Yeah.
Great stuff, especially if you're running the half marathon. If you need to shed a couple LBs, get that body shaver and get all that hair off.
Pounds of hair. Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. Decimal LBs. I don't know. I hope I don't have pounds of hair unless I'm just exposing myself.
Nobody does. That's disgusting. Anywho. Yeah.
We're talking about the 1-3-1. I just want
the 1-3-1. Go ahead.
I just wanted to jump in and say, just even in this series with the overtime, like we use it in overtime, and I don't know if it's just to kind of finish my point on this. I don't know if it's like a tactic of like if this game goes late, this preserves our legs or something like that. I don't know why they choose to do it.
It's a big if.
I know, right? Like that's the problem with it, which is why again I don't like it. But I felt like the same thing happened in game 5. We were just lucky that we got saves. Like Wall made some crazy saves, and the puck went the other way. But I feel like people kind of forgot that, hey, like we were getting pretty torched in that overtime in game 5.
I think that
was our first shot in overtime, the Knives one, maybe the second one, but yeah, off a rush play too, like kind of a nothing play where they turn where Tavares has the puck on the wall and just rushes an end. That's how we scored. And we got away with it, but yeah, anyways, not a fan of the 1-3-1.
No, I'm not either. You don't have the horses to do it. You don't have the personnel to do it. I have no idea why that was implemented. And Sheldon Keefe's loser comment of people play the Leafs in a way that the Leafs beat themselves. I'm paraphrasing, but like the Leafs beat the Leafs.
Yeah.
Brother, you're on what, year 5 or 6 right now? And that's what you have to, like, do you not prepare the team well enough? Because it doesn't, from the sounds of what you're saying, that it was just a big loser comment to me.
Yeah,
like you've been the head coach for how long? You're one of the longest tenured coaches in the NHL. Current coaches with their team, whatever, top 5, and that's your comment. That guy, he's been saying dumb comments all year. I think he's just not good at press conferences, unfortunately.
Yeah, so that's the biggest problem with Sheldon Keefe. I find is that he doesn't not the biggest, but that's one of his flaws. Is that, and I find motivation. He seems to be a good in understanding. There's a lot of flaws, actually, now that I think about it. Seems to be good in player level communication and expectation setting. He's pretty good at getting stuff out of a player on a one-on-one level. I think a team level, he struggles buying it, getting the whole team to buy in, if that makes sense. I think he's he's good with player relationships. He struggles with the buy-in though. I feel like he doesn't do a good enough job of, he's not a good motivator at all. Like we've seen that. And again, he's not good controlling the media. We can get into that. But yeah, we already kind of did where we feel like he's good tactically, but I feel like he doesn't implement them well. Line change is a whole nother thing. But yeah.
You're the coach, bro. Yeah. The Leafs didn't get any too many men penalties this series.
Great.
They could have gotten one in game two. But
good jump off the bench from it.
I think it was Edmondson.
So in this game to tie it off,
I will say this. I want to go through that second goal from Boston.
Go for it.
From top to bottom. Like, what the hell happened there? I'm not going to share my screen. I'm just going to explain it.
I can share my screen first. Right now if you want.
Sure. Let's take a look at it.
But yeah, describe it quickly while I bring it up.
Yes. So anyways, number one thing you have to consider with that is an extremely lucky bounce. That bounce not only came out into a great spot, it came out into the perfect spot where it was just far enough away and just close enough in where Samsonov had to make the quickest split second decision, and he chose the wrong one. It was just so, so close and so borderline. Should he have gotten it? Should he not have? I think he should have went for it. And instead, he sat on his goal line and got beat. And Pasternak beat him around. That bounce was insane. It's insanely unlucky for the Leafs. It's insanely lucky for the Bruins. And it's also a really nice set play from the Bruins. Pasternak comes through the neutral zone. He bumps the pass back, I think it was. He continues his route with speed. He gets the puck comes across to Lindholm. Lindholm has enough time and space to get to the red line. He throws it in just like on the line pretty much. And it goes perfectly to Pasternak. Like, yes, it's a nice set play. As we can see here, Pasternak coming through the neutral zone. Backhand pass to Lindholm, who has a bunch of space. And Lindholm starts through the neutral zone. And then he's able to get just to the red line. Maybe a little bit before, but it's not icing. Pasternak beat out the call. And Pasternak's able to make a nice move around Samsonov. But that's a set play where Pasternak's coming around through the neutral zone, throwing the backhand across and continuing his route so that he's able to recover this with speed, right?
Yeah.
So that's my number one, is that it's a nice play from Boston. It's a very unlucky bounce. Number one. Number two, in terms of sequential, what happens here? Why does Lindholm have so much time and space here? Why does he have so much time and space to come through the neutral
zone? I don't know. I was wondering that.
When you're watching it, so back up a couple seconds. There. So when you're watching this play, that pass goes to Pasternak. Look who pressures Pasternak here. Pause it. That's Ilya Lyubushkin. Perfect. Awesome. Pushes Pasternak off the puck so that he can't come through the neutral zone with speed. But Pasternak knows he's going to do that, so he drops it off. Watch. Do you see right here, for those watching on YouTube, that's Lyubushkin and John Tavares is coming back. John Tavares is in position. John Tavares is probably going to want, he's kind of in a winger position, right? He wants to come back and he wants to switch with Nylander to play center. He runs into Lyubushkin on this play. That's John Tavares that technically should be taken out, or it would either be Tavares because he's, or Nylander because he switched with Tavares, or Tavares himself pressuring Hampus Lindholm here. He runs into Lyubushkin. He's not able to get into any position. So he challenges Lyubushkin up here, right? John Tavares is challenging Lyubushkin. He's a little bit late though. That's why Lindholm's able to come through with so much speed, in my opinion. Tavares and Lyubushkin run into each other. It happens. It's shitty. Watch that there. They hit each other at the red line. It kind of sets them off a little bit. Okay, we reset. I got to pressure Lindholm now. That's why he's able to get that dump in off cleanly, and that's why he's able to get the dump in off, plain and simple, with speed too. The second thing here, a lot of people are saying Marner should have tied up Pasternak.
I guess you could say that, sure. But look at the massive hole in the neutral zone when as a result of them bumping into each other. Like, yeah. You don't think the second he sees that, he's like, fuck, no one's covering as the one man up here. That should be me. And then John Tavares decides to be the one man.
I think that's such a minuscule part of the play that and the other thing, Marner's not chasing that puck. That's not his position. No. When on God's green earth, in what NHL game have you ever watched a winger who's not covering for a defenseman recover a dump in? Stop it right here. Morgan Rielly is the last man back. He is the left defenseman. And this is my biggest gripe I have with this play. You are the left defenseman. You are the last man back. And we'll watch it on the replay here. What happens? He has zero speed. He is flat footed here on the dump in. He doesn't come within a stick length of David Pasternak. That puck is dumped into your corner and you are turnstiled by the dump in. Continue, let it roll so that the replay.
I want to see the back angle. Yeah. Because
I don't think... He's skating. He's pressuring. So Lyubushkin comes back into position. He thinks he's supposed to be covering for Lyubushkin because Lyubushkin stepped up into the neutral zone. Lyubushkin easily recovers. So this is just in case Geeky gets the puck. Rielly then stops right here. He's flat-footed. He is in no man's land because he's not defending the blue line. He's not setting himself up to recover the puck, but that's his job. It's the left corner, left defenseman gets completely turnstiled by David Pasternak and doesn't come within a stick length of him. That's a terrible read from Morgan Rielly here.
And I was checking to see, he scans right there. So he should know that, hey, like I got a guy coming in hot. Like you got to know that. Like you got to know, you got to be, ready to turn.
And he stops. He stops right there. As the dumping comes, he turns. He has zero speed at all. Like, is Marner supposed to stab David Pastrnak on this play? Is he supposed to assault him? Because Morgan Riley's not close to that puck. And Samsonov should have gotten this. He's too passive on this play.
Yeah.
He's way too passive on this play. He decides, oh, I've got it, and he's just not even close.
I'm sure Riley was probably tired on that, but again, like, you can't. I think you're right. Like, you're the whole purpose of having
Riley's job.
The whole purpose of him being there is to do exactly that. You're losing a foot race from basically the top of the circle to a guy at the blue line. Like, and
also you set up this play and you're pressuring in a way where everyone's back. What do you think Hampus Lindholm is going to do on this play as he's coming over the red line?
He's dumping it in.
How do you not expect the dump in? How is this a surprise with how you set up the defensive zone? How is it a surprise? You're the last man back on this play. You're clogging the neutral zone. This is not Connor McDavid. And you're surprised by a dump in? If there's anyone to blame on this play, it's Morgan Riley and Ilya Samsonov. Plain and simple. I will say it's a shitty bounce. It's a great play from Boston. But Morgan Riley got turnstiled there. As the old Penguins announcer, I forget his name, he doesn't know whether to cry or wind his watch. He got beat like a rented mule on that play. That really pissed me off.
It was a tough one.
But again, it's a shitty bounce. You also have to recognize that. But today just stewing on it, I could not believe that the jump in was just unexpected. What were you expecting?
I don't know.
Nobody honestly was carrying it in this series. What were you expecting? Yeah. And that's how the series, I'm more frustrated. The series is done. This is not like a goal in game three.
Yeah.
The series is done. That's why I'm overly critical of Morgan Riley here. That's also it. It's just frustration. But brother, man, game seven, overtime. You're flat-footed on a dump in your corner. Nobody's out of position, really. It's minuscule plays that gave the Bruins a couple more seconds, a second more here and there, but you are just in no man's land. And on the Brazeau chance, I tweeted it as well. What was he doing on that play?
He lost the puck, and that's been my problem with him all year. He just loses the puck.
No, the Brazeau chance, the Justin Brazeau chance. Justin Brazeau walked in, took a shot. Samsonov didn't even react. It went off his shaft.
His shaft. Oh,
Morgan Riley was in the corner.
I thought you were talking
about Morgan Riley was defending the boards on that play. He gave him, again, an area's code worth of space and just was not defending the middle of the ice at all. If Justin Brazeau scored that overtime winner, the guy that the Leafs said can't develop him anymore, oh my God. Anyways, they lost, so it doesn't matter.
Well, his line scored the first freaking point, like the first goal for them, and it was off a similar thing where it's like, obviously,
the Lindholm goal?
The Lindholm goal, yeah, because
that was just a shit shot from a shit angle.
Shit shot, but like 3 seconds before that shot, like, I don't know if you remember this, but like Samsonov was locked. They should have scored before that. Like, the puck somehow bounced over the net, and it's like, bro, what? Like, the puck gets centered, and he just has no idea where the puck is.
Like, oh, you want to hear another funny part? So there was a play where people were like, the announcer was Craig Simpson's like, why did Samsonov lose his stick here? And he was all wild. Morgan Riley cut through the crease and ran into him, and he lost his stick. Near him at all. He ran into Ilya Samsonov on his own.
It's just erratic. Like, we play erratic with this guy in net, so it's just crazy. That's why bad feeling when
he's nonsense. Yeah. But listen to this. Listen to this. At the end of regulation, how many goals did Boston have?
Two.
At the end of regulation, they had one goal. You scored one goal.
Of course. Of course.
You scored more than two goals once this series.
Yeah.
Pathetic. I understand with the power play, you didn't have all your personnel there and healthy until game seven, and you only got like two power plays there. It looked better, but like, you would have loved for that 4-minute power play. Wouldn't you have loved Matthews to be there? Unfortunately, he wasn't.
So, yeah, I appreciate that you said that because we also need to keep things in perspective here because.
Yeah. So they lost the game. Do you want to get into why they lost the series?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good, okay, good let's, point. Yeah.
And it's one last thing about that. Actually, I'll mention it in the series part.
Okay.
You go. It's just about Joel Edmondson. I cannot believe how many offensive chances it's that crazy. Guy had
wasted. It's crazy. I'm curious what
it's like. He got the most amount of good offensive looks out of all the Leafs defensemen combined. I'm convinced combined. And it just like, oh, Joel Edmondson played great. He somehow generated all the, like, you can't say, oh, he wasted offensive chances. You have to be generating them as well off the puck, which he did. And he helped to generate a goal too. But my God, every time, like, it was like, oh, it's a dangerous play. What a pass. And it goes to, okay, Joel Edmondson. Before the puck's even shot, I'm just like, never mind. Fuck.
I mean, like, individual expected goals, he had the second most for a defenseman on the Leafs. So
who was first?
Morgan Riley, but only that by
seems like a sham. Half of them were from the sideboard.
I think that was more volume than anything. You're right. But
like I'll break down the Joel Edmondson chances. Like there was one from Nylander where Nylander is making a couple nice moves here and there, jitterbugging people, makes the pass. Joel Edmondson misses by a foot. Okay, whatever. Mitch Marner passed to him two in game seven. The first one was just like, oh, he had to actually like shoot it. No, that's not happening. The second one was a tip and it was like, anyone else? Why couldn't anyone else?
Any other player on the team? Yeah.
Any other human? Any other Marley? That's insulting, but yeah. Joel Edmondson was way above my expectations.
Yeah.
In terms of results, in terms of everything. Just like when you look back on it and you're just like, wow, we had all these great chances. What happened?
Like, a lot of them went to the wrong guy.
I think I have he didn't put them in the net. And guess what? If he got another 10 of those, he probably wouldn't have put those into the net either.
Yeah.
But so Stanley Cup winner, crop top king, Joel Edmondson surprised me, played well above my expectations, but could not finish on an offensive chance if his life depended on it.
So for me, like biggest thing that this series, how do you want to get into this?
Special teams.
Special teams
sucks. I think fire both of them. Fire both coaches. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. Unprepared. Garbage.
I think coaching was like the macro pull out from that. Coaching is our biggest issue. I feel like there was a lot of issues that could have stemmed from coaching. To not win a single game on, or I guess to win only one game on home ice, is not acceptable. And the only reason why you won is because your goalie bailed you out. And the only reason why that goalie was in the net was because the original goalie that you put in played four horrible games. Maybe one good game in there.
No, game two, he was solid.
Okay, so game two, he was solid. But to not be able to identify who your better goalie is and wait until you're 3-1, again, no. Coaching, I think. No, I agree. I think so. I really think so because, listen, it was night and day. It really was night and day when Joseph Woll went into the net. Not make that decision until it was 3-1, where essentially you backed yourself in a corner, I think that was a mistake. Here's the thing. The game two messed this up because
game two really did actually mess everything.
I don't think he played that well, but how could you take him out, right?
No, he played great game two.
It should have been after game one, buddy, you're gone. Yeah. I'm sorry. Put Woll in and that's it. And then after game three, if he didn't play well, buddy, you're gone. Put Woll in. That's it. Because game three, he let in soft goals. Game one, he let in soft goals. To take it to a game four where the team in front of him, you have to wait for the team in front of him to play like shit. To me, as a player, that's demoralizing.
I think he also didn't do himself any favors. He didn't
look good that game either. But again, he waited until the team to really play poor, even though they played poor game one. Anyways, it's just, I just thought it was a massive, massive failure of the team. And it feels like you could see that when the team plays. Nylander on the last goal did not skate at all. If there was a rebound there, I don't know if it was Morgan Geeky or I forget who the right winger was there. He was going to score if there was a rebound. That was Nylander's guy, but Nylander just gave up because he's like, this is going in. I'm done. This is going in.
I think Marner was in the area too.
Marner was more so trying to chase Pasternak, though. That was the problem.
Well,
Anyways.
Here's the thing. It went in. Who cares?
It went in. But I'm just saying it feels like the way that the team was playing around him just played different than how they played with Wall. And I feel like they weren't confident in them. And I think that is like a crux, was one of the crux of the series.
Yeah. Like I said, after game one, I would like a goalie change. It didn't happen. You got some good goaltending in game two, though.
But like, I don't want the reason to be why we lost the series. Because like this is what we're talking about right now. I don't want it to be goaltending. It's on the coach for not putting the right goalie in. It's on the coach for not figuring out who the right personnel is. No, but think about it. Did you
goaltending also didn't give you much of a reason to believe in either of them going into that series?
Correct. But did you ever give Joseph Wall a chance, or did you just give it to Samsonov after they played Boston and Joseph Wall got cooked on a back to back when the team on the second half of a back to back?
How do you look against Florida too?
He didn't look that good either, but again, you didn't really give him a chance. You give him two games. That's not enough.
How many? No, they give him more than that. After his high ankle sprain, they gave him Arizona, which he actually played pretty well in. They gave him the two Bostons, which didn't go great. They gave him a Washington start, which he played pretty well in, I think. There was five or six starts. He, at times, New Jersey start, he didn't look very good in either. He was battling back from a high ankle sprain. You have to play through pain. It happens. He's an extremely talented. I love Joseph Wall. I'm a huge Joseph Wall fan, huge Joseph Wall believer. I cannot wait to see what he can do next year. But going into that playoff series, it was, I don't know who. You didn't go to Wall after game one. Okay. Samsonov gave you a good game two. Were you going to give Wool game three? No, game three fell apart. Like, probably should have went.
Yeah.
The issue was, like, when you actually look at it, game four, the lineup decisions there all backfired. All of them backfired.
Brody.
Because Nylander was back, right? So then you had to take someone out. You took out Dewar instead of Ryan Reeves. Okay. What happened on goal one?
Ryan Reeves
turnover, right? What happened on goal? And then you took out Rungsved, you took out Liljegren, and you put in Brody. What happened on goal three?
Brody got cooked.
Goal one, he didn't battle through someone holding his stick. Damn it, right? And then the second goal in the PK, where was your goalie? He was in the Vaughan area code. He was in LOJ. He wasn't whatever Toronto is, right? Those were the lineup decisions. You had a decision. Samsonov collapsed in the second half of game three. You had a lineup decision. Wall or Samsonov? You went Samsonov. You had to pull him after two periods.
Yeah.
You had Liljegren or Brody. You put in Brody. He collapsed. You had to pull him after that game. Reeves or Dewar, you put in Reeves. And what happened? He collapsed and also gave up a goal. But I will say, like, that is kind of a crapshoot because along the wall, Dewar did have a couple turnovers here and there that Wall bailed him out on. So thank you, Joseph Wall from Connor Dewar. But Dewar also had some good chances. Like, Dewar's a better player that should have been playing instead of Ryan Reeves.
There's an old saying that a coaching's tenure and a coaching's time is often tied to the goalie that is in front of him. And once the goalie starts to deteriorate, then it's on the coach. And he gets fired. And I think that's what we're going to see here because, again, half of our goaltending was good. And it's going to result in, you know, probably Sheldon Keefe being fired.
Yeah. But just like, look at those lineup decisions from game four. All of them backfired hard. And then you just did the opposite the next game and it seemed to work.
Well, listen, I just shat on him for like the last 10 minutes, but I'm going to give him credit. I don't know if it was him or if it was the guys in the locker room, but I think game five, six, and seven, I was impressed with. After that stinker of a performance, I was happy with how they played, which is why I'm hurt that they lost. I'm mad that they lost. I'm sad that they lost, but I thought they played well in game five, six, and seven as a team.
But
somewhat like they seemed fully bought in.
One through four, I thought they were fully bought in as well, but what happened that sunk them? PK goals again, or the power play goals against.
Yeah,
that's what switched the momentum. Like for me, watching back game four, I was watching. I'm like, this isn't too bad. It's a very even game, just like five, six, seven was. Not too many chances for, not too many chances against. And then game four, like, just that stinker of a goal. Game one, stinker of a goal because of a Ryan Reeves incorrect play. Like, just one mistake kind of ruined each game that you lost, essentially. Like,
yeah.
Game one, it started with the Ryan Reeves turnover. Game three, it was the Samsonov shitty goal from Sudbury, Ontario, the guy shot from. And game four, Ryan Reeves shitty play as well there. Like, in a game, in a series where the margins were so thin, like, to have those big blow-ups just killed you. But
of course,
that's not why they lost. Why did they lose this series?
I'm going to get into that, but before I do, I want to give you a quick shout-out.
Special teams sucked. Go ahead.
Special team was bad, but before we talk about the special teams, let's talk about a little bit something special that we have for you. The chase for the Stanley Cup is on, and if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. It's interesting. It says, if you're looking to light the lamp, unlike the Leafs. I left that part out, though. From the start of the playoff beards all the way to the hoisting of the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and so much more. I don't know what to do here. It tells me to reference odds from DraftKings, so I'll just list out some of the championship odds at DraftKings. Right now, favorites are Florida Panthers plus 425. If you like Edmonton, plus 450. Rangers, plus 550. Avalanche, plus 550. Hurricanes, plus 550. And then you can kind of take a look at the rest of them from there. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. That's code THPN. That's $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Good Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Oh, my goodness. All right. Power play. It sucked. It sucked. I watched it all. It sucked. Penalty kill, I didn't watch. That's
penalty kill, you got roasted on, partially because of goaltending, partially because of just a little bit of stupidity here and there, but also didn't help that your goalie stunk. So,
yeah.
The power play, what did you notice wrong with the power play?
I felt like we were struggling on entries. And I think it felt like I think we talked about this in game five. It felt like every time the puck went to, like, Tavares, every time we
along the boards, he got swarmed. He didn't move
exactly
fast enough.
They invited the pass to Tavares. They would rather pressure the player.
They loved it.
Matthews coming in. And they said, give the puck to Tavares and let him stick handle himself into trouble. And that's what happened. So
they loved it. When you watch the Rangers power play goal from today, that's a team that planned for, hey, they're going to swarm us. They're going to put pressure on the puck carrier. This is how you alleviate it. And the Leafs just, like, the closest they came, their one goal was like a mistake where they accidentally did that. They didn't come close to it didn't look like they came close to, like, playing in a way where they're, hey, like, you got to tighten up the passes in certain spots and then go for the open ice, because if they're putting pressure on you on the PK and they're one man short, there's space elsewhere. You got to find that space and you got to move the puck quick enough to do so. And they just did not at all. It's partially they didn't have their core personnel. They, like, until game seven, essentially. Partially, how quick does Morgan Riley move the puck?
We're almost short
a guy there. Like,
not
quick enough. He doesn't move the puck quick enough. But to be fair, who else on the Leafs D would have moved the puck quick enough? Probably nobody.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I would say probably nobody, in my opinion, right? Like,
we like to slow it down, which is sometimes good, but also, like,
too many guys that like to have the puck on their stick and move around with it. Not enough guys that wanted to just quick passes that could figure it out. But, like, how is that not a coaching thing? Like, it just looked like they were totally unprepared for what Boston's PK was going to be. And it was the complete opposite on the other end for their power, for Boston's power play. It looks like they knew exactly what the Leafs were going to do. And then finally the Leafs started to stifle them in game 6 and 7.
Yeah.
But the special teams, man, that above anything else sunk you for how many power plays you got, that you got one total goal in the series. And then your goalie couldn't stop anything on the PK, partially because your PK just sucked and you didn't game plan properly for Boston's power play. And yeah, special teams, man, murdered you in this series.
Yeah. Anything else you feel like something? not scoring enough, but like that's just all derived from special teams and like.
Partially special teams. It's partially like Mitch Marner had 3 points this series. And John Tavares had 2. That is just wildly unacceptable.
Yeah.
It's wildly unacceptable. This was the one series in the past few years where I was just underwhelmed overall with Mitch Marner. And I had, like, there was maybe one or two dangerous plays a game. Actual dangerous plays, I will say.
Yeah.
Like, you'll find them in the highlights. They're that dangerous. But just, like, one or two a game, you're supposed to be a 100-point winger.
Yeah, you got to be a bit better.
You got to be way better than that. He didn't shoot the puck at all this series. I can, like, his goal, that's one shot. Okay. There was the 3-on-2 in game 6. That was a good shot. There was a shot after he passed up on an egregious shooting chance in game 5. That was a good shot chance.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. How am I able to count Mitch Marner's shooting chances on one hand in a 7-game series? Like Montreal series, you could say, oh, he collapsed mentally, he's fragile, whatever. I went back and watched those chances. He got legitimate chances, just buried them into Carey Price's chest or hit the post. Or when he wasn't doing that, he was feeding Zach Hyman, who then was feeding Carey Price's pads.
Yeah.
This series, I didn't see a ton of it. Right. Yeah. And you could, he was playing with Domi and Bertuzzi and like was being given favorable zone starts at times and he couldn't find a way. He didn't figure it out. Like, was he bad? No. He was underwhelming though, for sure. For sure. Like, and then you look at the other two superstars, like Matthews and Nylander were dealing with injuries. They were out this series. They produced more than Mitch Marner did over 7 games.
Yeah.
That's something to put in perspective. He was just absolutely not good enough in this series.
Yep.
He was given more defensive burden than those two. But 7 games, 3 points is not enough at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Interestingly enough, if you had to guess, which forward played the most time on ice at 5-on-5 for us this game, throughout the series?
Throughout the entire series?
Yeah.
John Tavares?
Tyler Bertuzzi.
Yeah, that makes sense. So that's another issue I'll get into in a second. But
I was just looking.
No, like, that's a good point. Like
Marner was third at 5-on-5 ice time for
who was forward, second? So.
Max Domi. They relied on that line heavily at 5-on-5.
They really did, no matter who was on it.
Yeah.
Wow. Max Domi.
Sorry to like take away your train of thought there.
No, I was done. But Marner played with Bertuzzi and Domi, and like off the top of your head, who had the more noticeable offensive chances? Domi or Marner?
Domi. Domi did.
It was Max Domi. How many points did Domi finish with? I actually don't know.
Where is it?
Did he have 3? He had 4?
3 assists and a goal.
There you go. Like, Marner was given more defensive assignment than Domi, sure. But Domi was not creating because he was in the... He started in the offensive zone. He was starting things from up the ice. Through the neutral zone as well. And on top of that, he was winning draws too, which is really key. Now, Was Domi inefficient with the puck still? Yes, he was definitely. He tries to fit it into low percentage plays way too much, which kills cycles. However, Max Domi overall, like offensively, he was way more noticeable than Mitch Marner.
Mm-hmm.
Way more noticeable.
I agree.
And used his speed way better.
And you mentioned that, like, yeah, Marner had more defensive zone draws, but like even just in the last three games when they were playing together, it felt like Domi was getting the better chances of the two. So
in game five, Mitch Marner had 8 offensive zone starts to 0 defensive zone starts. So did Max Domi. So did Tyler Bertuzzi. And Domi was way more noticeable than him. Mm-hmm. Marner had the one primary assist where it was a pass into a non-dangerous area to Jake McCabe. And that was off of a Domi 1 face-off, right?
Yeah.
Like, it just wasn't good enough for Mitch Marner in this one. Like, last year, you could say, oh, he played really well in the Tampa series. In the Florida series, he had 2 really good games out of the 5. So, overall, you could say, okay, it was pretty good. Like, the Tampa series before that, he was pretty good, I would say, there, too. Like, There's some argument there, I would say. This series just wasn't good enough. It was way too vanilla.
That's the best way to put it, is that it was vanilla. Yeah.
In a series where you're supposed to have the upper hand offensively, especially at 5-on-5, you did not.
Yeah.
You had to grind it out defensively. Now, partially was it like you didn't have the decor to foster good cycles, good offensive chances, good point shots, good anything. But like, you got to do a little bit more. Like, he just not enough, in my opinion. Not enough at all. That was disappointing.
But any other things?
Yeah. Do you have anything you want?
That's it for me for like regards to like why we lost.
I got another one. Yeah. How many? Sure. So do you remember the Tampa series? The Leafs were able to dominate in front of the net. All the goals were tips, screens. Tampa didn't have a very strong decor in front of the net.
Yep.
The Leafs got bitch slapped in front of the net. They did not have the front of the net personnel. Like, you had Nyes who crashed the net on a couple. He came in from outside in, right? Those were good plays. That worked, right? But in terms of getting shots through traffic, getting a tip, screening Jeremy Swayman, having it go through. There was none of that. None of that. Whether that be because the shooting lanes weren't there, which they were pretty clogged, I will say. And just also you were not strong in front of the net and you didn't have enough guys willing to be in front of that entire third line that they were running for most of the series. Like, how many guys stood in front of the net?
Yeah, that's actually, you know what? Now that you mention it, we played with 2 fourth lines.
Very perimeter. We played with a fourth line where you can actually start in the defensive zone and one that you could not start at all.
Yeah,
just on the fly, that's it.
But to be fair, we were playing with our 14th and 15th forward, no, 13th and 14th forward, basically, on that line, probably. One of the two. Sure. 13th and 14th in the lineup for sure for majority of the series. So just put it in perspective. But players, what, I guess, 12, 11, 10, 9, we're just still not good enough. 12, 11, 10, we're still not good enough. So,
yeah. But to me, to go back to my point, it was you had no net front presence. And that's why Tyler Bertuzzi played so much. He was the only somewhat net front presence, and he still got bullied.
Great point.
He's only 185 pounds. He still got pushed around in front of the net. Like last year, you could rely on Tavares. You could rely on O'Reilly in that Tampa series, and they dominated the net front. Mm-hmm. Against Florida, Florida was stronger, and they pushed you. Like they cross-checked the shit out of you, which is going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's where that sort of net front ability to get shots through, play it to the perimeter, take a bit of a distance shot, you get a tip, you get a screen, it goes through. Like, how many of those did you have? You had the Nylander, okay. You had a Bertuzzi in game 3, okay. And McCabe. Okay. If you're going to play a dump and chase forecheck style and not generate much off the rush, mm-hmm. and I can count, again, I can count the goals in which you had a good net front presence on one hand, that's an issue.
That's a good point. I feel like part of the identity of this team is like very wishy-washy. Confusing. Like what? Yeah. Like what do we want to play? You know? So what style do we want to play? Maybe that can improve. Maybe this is the offseason that improves. Any positive to take away from this series?
Were down 3-1. You were down 3-1. You cut out the bullshit mistakes and the bullshit penalties. And you made a really good effort. Like you, and the goalie that you have for next year and under team control after that, I believe. Yes, after that, he came in after not having played for 2 weeks, not having started a game for 2 weeks, and he played awesome, awesome hockey. Yeah. And he matched the guy at the other end who was very, very good too. That's a huge takeaway for me. That was a huge positive for me. Yeah, you showed some toughness, but what were like some positives? Keep on the positives. Pontus Holmberg, I like him. I like that we have him around for next year.
Connor Dewar, RFA, should be Connor cheap.
Connor Dewar,
24 years
had
old.
Had some good moments though too.
Like this is kind of mean to say, but TJ Brody is $5 million. We were basically playing with a $78 million team when like you healthy scratch a guy and he makes $5 million, that helps out the team. Hey. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. Sorry.
Zit. He's probably all right. TJ Brody was things happened. Right. Sure.
Yeah.
Simone Benoit had his moments and McCabe had his moments. They were decent pairing. My one
you go first.
A lot of people are putting out mock rosters and the defense just looks like shit. Like they're like, oh yeah, one hole here. I'm like, but this entire decor is just not good enough.
Not good.
Like, oh, yeah. Congratulations, you in your fantasy world put together a mock decor that still would be the worst decor in the playoffs next year as well.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Congratulations on being a moron in Fantasyland too. That was rude, but I think
you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Anywho. And you have nobody coming through the prospect pipeline where it's like they're gonna knock you off your feet.
Oh, defensively.
You do not. You have nobody defensively. You have Easton Cowan, buddy. OHL MVP. I don't know.
Let's go. See, that's
OHL MVP. And he's playing for the OHL finals too. They better make the Memorial Cup. They will make the Memorial Cup. Bank on that. And will Fraser Mitton. And then Brandon Lisowski is on that team too. And then we're going to have an invasion of Leafs prospects in the Mem Cup. Bang. Anywho.
I love it. My biggest takeaway is that, again, like you said, down 3-1, came back, looked like good coming back. We lost. It happens. What are you going to do?
Listen, Off a shit bounce. You did not get torched. It didn't look like the game sevens of past where guys looked nervous. They lost their mind. They lost their marbles.
All I want to say is like, if you're ready to jump ship now, you just haven't been a real fan. Cause like for me personally, like I have so much scar tissue built up. I'm fucking not feeling shit from this loss. I'm so numb from it, but,
I'm disappointed.
But like, I'm used to it, but like, fuck, like whatever. I don't know. I'm still going to follow this team no matter what. So not getting rid of me that easily. Biggest thing for me though, takeaway and to bring into next year is that again, you were down 3-1. I feel like the seeds were planted early this year to change the identity of this roster. We're not there yet. It's a slow burn. Rome wasn't built in a day, but I hope one day we can get there. That's all I think. And I think I know we lost in round one. Progression is not linear. I think overall this was a step in the right direction. It's going to be on True Living to build a good team now, and we'll see.
Yep. We will see. Anywho.
So
thank you everyone for listening. We'll probably do an episode next week about like where to go from here. But thanks everyone for listening.
Goalies go.